Take a short lifestyle detour from the news of the world. Here's Jenna Barr and the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The opinions expressed on this edition of Pensacola Expert Panel are not necessarily those of News Radio 92.3 AM 1620, but rather the opinions of the sponsor, Climatech Professional Air, with host Travis Thompson.
Here at News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Jenna Barr, and Travis Thompson has joined me from Climatech. How are you?
I'm good.
We were just talking about bread, so we're now we're hungry.
Carbs. Can't talk about that. It makes me hungry.
I know, exactly. But carbs give you energy, and energy makes you, you know, be able to do things better, like help people out with their ACs and keeping them running efficiently. Or like in my house, I can't figure out if I want to turn it on or off. I just can't make up my mind.
Yeah, this time of year it's tough. It's not really hot, but you've got enough humidity in the house, it starts to feel sticky.
Yes.
And that's where things start to get a little difficult. Certain systems are really good in that kind of environment, and certain systems it's kind of tough to deal with. But yeah, you do a lot of juggling with a thermostat this time of year.
That's a lot. I mean, I just want the temperature to make up its mind, but it is the humidity. You're right. And hey, maybe you have a question today for Travis. Something's going on in your house. Maybe you have something that's just you feel like you can't fix, or you just have a question in general that applies to your air conditioning or your heating. If you're using it, I'm going to pray for you. But 437-1620, feel free to call or text us. Again, that number is 850-437-1620. So we did want to chat a little bit today about just the efficiency for your units and why it's important to have maintenance on your units. I mean, and that's pretty much like a given, right? Or maybe
yeah, it is. I mean, and I get the question a lot because we talk in SEER ratings and, you know, people don't know what that is for the most part. We deal with it all the time, so we take it for granted. So when you talk about SEER ratings, a SEER rating is just a energy efficiency rating that is given to a particular system. And basically how that calculates is it's how much energy that unit takes to run to remove how much heat it can remove. So anything we do to that system that increases the heat removal or increases the amount of capacity that it has can increase our efficiency rating. So if you've got a unit that's at a set efficiency rating, whatever it might be, and our outdoor coil gets dirty, well, that outdoor coil is actually where the heat removal from the house is taking place. So if we're not removing as much heat as we should when the unit was built and constructed, we're now cutting that efficiency rating down for two reasons. We're not doing as much cooling as we were, and we're also spending more energy to do it because our pressures have gone up. So it works in a vicious cycle, actually, when you have dirty coils inside, dirty coils outside, dirty filters, those things. It's a cycle. So that's why a bunch of small things that don't mean the system's not working can actually add up and do quite a bit to your efficiency rating.
Oh, excellent. I mean, we all want efficiency in life in general.
Right.
I just feel like I need to hire a couple of robots to follow me around.
Yeah.
More than just Alexa and Siri. But we do have a couple of questions coming in right away. So please continue. Let us know what you want to know. 437-1620 for Travis. Here's a question. What do you recommend about putting reference to putting UV lights in AC systems to kill COVID? And what is the cost bracket for that?
Yeah, the one we're using now that's been tested to actually work on this virus, and it's been proven to work, is the Remy Halo light. That light goes into the supply duct system. It actually purifies the air right above the air handler itself, but it also purifies the air in the rest of the house. That system has been, you know, a lot of tests have been done by independent parties and things like that to validate that it does work and do what it says it'll do. And that thing kills viruses in the home, in all parts of the house, not just inside of your AC system. So that one's been a really big seller, and it's really been a popular unit. That unit should cost you, I don't know, a ballpark anywhere from $850 to $1,000 installed with the unit, the bulb, everything ready to go. There are a couple different styles now. They have an LED version that is a no ozone, and then they've got their regular version that puts off a small amount of ozone, because that's a concern for some people with asthma and things like that. So
right.
Two different versions of it. The LED is a little more expensive, but it gets a little better warranty as well. But been very effective lights at doing what they say they'll do, and seem to be working good.
Okay, so follow-up question. What is, like, the maintenance surrounding a Remy Halo?
The Remy Halo has a bulb life, and that's really the maintenance. Other than making sure the bulb has not blown on a regular check, just to make sure the light's still working, you have, if I'm not mistaken, a 3-year life on the regular light, and then you've got a 5-year life on the LED light. So, and you need to replace them about that often, you know, so 3 to 5 years, it's pretty low maintenance. I mean, once you put it in, it's there for a while.
Wow. 3 to 5 years. That's super low maintenance. And I mean, that's my kind of system right there. Low maintenance. I need everything to be low maintenance in my life.
Yeah.
I have 3 high maintenance children, so need to.
I changed the bulb in my house last night, and it took
about
10 minutes. So it's not a big deal. Even when you get time to change the bulb, it's not a real big tear anything apart or anything like that. It's built to do that. It's built to replace the bulb. So replacing the bulb's not hard at all.
Now, and do y'all come in and install that?
Mm-hmm.
And
yep. We can install it. We can put you on a regular maintenance program where we come out twice a year, check everything out. We can have the bulb where we know, you know, when it's time to change it, we can change it. We can do it however you'd like.
Awesome. Okay. And then, so like you just said, you were about to answer the next question is, do we get the bulbs from you?
Oh, yes. We can supply the bulbs as well.
There we go. Look, it's a one-stop shop. Look at that, Travis. You're making it everything easy for us today.
I try.
Okay, so we have another question coming in, and if you have some more, please let us know. 437-1620. I'll always love to see your good morning text, too. I see you. Good morning. What is the best way to measure and control humidity in, and what should the humidity level be in my home? And I feel like I know the answer to this question, but I'll let you do it because I don't want to mess up.
Nah, you're fine. anywhere in the 50 something percent. We'd like to see it above 50, but we do not want it above 60. So anywhere in that mid 50s range would be good. If we're in the upper 40s, that's perfectly fine. It's going to feel nice and crisp in the upper 40s. But if we get above 60, that's when we can let mold grow. So we don't want to get it above 60. Now, having said that, if your humidity were to bump up on a rainy day for a few hours, it's not the end of the world. You don't have mold growing everywhere. But as an overall average, we want to keep that humidity down in that mid-50s, low-50s range would be ideal.
Okay. So you have to walk me through this process, because mm-hmm. I've heard it a couple times, but I just kind of need it laid out for me. So how do you, is it through your air conditioning? Is it through like an extra like machine maintaining that humidity? Like, because I don't like the humidity. I mean, I know that you're not supposed to have it super dry because we would all like turn into raisins.
Right.
But the humidity is just not my friend. I don't like sweating. So
yep.
How do you keep that level?
There's multiple ways to do it. The an air conditioning system, when it's in the cooling mode and it's running properly, is a dehumidifier. Unfortunately, it's also cooling. So on the days like we have now, where you might not need cooling as much, you need more humidity control, that's where you kind of get into that window where you want to run it a little more and get it a little cooler to get the humidity down. Now, there's several fixes to that. My preferred method is the systems we sell, the variable speed compressors that we sell. For instance, last night when I went to bed, my system was running, and it was running at 26%. So I've got a 3-ton unit, and it's basically running so slow that it's not really cooling my house because the temperature was fine,
right.
But it was still taking humidity out. So even in the rain last night, I was at 55% humidity, 72 degrees. The house felt great. So that's my preferred method, because you have one machine to maintain. You've got one machine to feed energy to. That's another big factor for me. And what happens with other systems that aren't variable speed, they can't idle down that way. They have to run full speed and cut off, full speed and cut off. Well, in this kind of a temperature we're having outside now, they don't have to run very long, and they're shutting off, so the humidity creeps up.
Right.
In those houses, if you don't want to go with the variable speed option, we have the option to do a separate dehumidifier, which will run and dehumidify air, and all it really does is it's an air conditioning system that cools the air down and dehumidifies it and then heats it back up so that it doesn't cool the house off.
Okay.
So that's how a dehumidifier works.
Right.
Again, that's a fix for it, but you do have another machine, another energy use, and another maintenance as opposed to one. So two different ways that I like to see it, and my preferred method being the variable speed, because one machine, a lot less energy usage, and we can control the humidity really well with that device.
Okay. And just chatting about dehumidifiers, and I just want to welcome everyone. In case you're just tuning in, you're listening to News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Jenna Barr, and I'm chatting with Travis Thompson from Climatech of Professional Air. We're chatting about your air quality in your home or in your business, whichever you feel like you might need a little bit more help on. You can definitely check them out online at climatechproair.com. But we are chatting about humidity right now, and so I feel like it's a sore subject just because once like May hits, you know, I just become like a little bit more agitated as a human with the humidity out there. But I do have one room. It's one of my bathrooms in my house that's just a little bit more humid and moist than the other ones. Is that normal? I mean, it's a larger, it's probably the larger bathroom. So is it because it's a larger room?
No, not necessarily. What we find a lot of times in bathrooms, because bathrooms have exhaust fans in them, and people like to think of them as a fan that just removes air. Well, if it's not running, a lot of times it is actually letting outside air back into the house. It's because that exhaust fan in your ceiling of that bathroom has a box on top, and that box has a tube that goes out and connects to the eave of your house to mm-hmm. blow the air out. Well, when the air's not blowing out, it has a little flapper in it to try to keep some of the air from coming back in, but they don't seal very well. So when you get a wind on a certain side of the house, you wind up with that 4-inch line just letting air pump back into the house, and therefore you get a really humid bathroom. You can get grills that sweat in a bathroom that haven't been used, because a lot of times, if you shower in a bathroom, your mm-hmm. grill can sweat, but it should dry up fairly quickly.
Right.
If you've got a bathroom that the grills are sweating in when you haven't been in there showering, that's probably what's going on. And about 90-something% of the time, that's what we find, is we can go in and install a mechanical backdraft damper with a good seal on it onto that exhaust fan.
Okay.
And that typically stops that problem.
You put it you take that cover off and you put it right
in
there.
Well, it actually goes up in the ceiling above, because it hooks in line with that tube that goes from the fan to the outside. And that gives it a good tight seal against a gasket so that there's no air coming backwards into the house that we don't want.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, it's our larger master bathroom pretty much. Mm-hmm. And so we have a dehumidifier in there that runs. But it's right. funny, because last night I was so uncomfortable. We were running the dehumidifier, you know, end of the day, we're all rushing to get ready mm-hmm. for bed. And so it just gets humid when you have everybody trying to get in and out of the showers, right? And so we run the dehumidifier, and I'll forget that I'm running it. Just mm-hmm. that white noise will just put me right to sleep. But then you wake up in the middle of the night, you're like, why am I breathing so funny? I'm coughing over here. And then it feels dry, almost too suffocating.
Dry. Right. Yeah, you can get it too dry. There's no doubt. And that's probably, and sometimes in a master bedroom, you could even have two fans in that bathroom. And if that's the case, that's just double the amount of air that can be pushed back into the house.
Okay.
But see that quite a bit, really.
Oh, see, and I was wondering, why, and now we're just going to talk about my personal life, I guess, here on News Radio. No, I'm just kidding. But I was wondering why they didn't put a bigger fan in a bigger bathroom. It's the same size as the powder room and the half mm-hmm. Smaller bathroom.
Yeah, typically when a house is built, that's not something that's given a lot of thought. A lot of times they're just put in a standard fan. There's not a lot of consideration given. Now, they do make a lot of really nice fans that are really quiet, that remove a lot more air to get rid of a lot more humidity.
Even though they're quiet?
Oh, yeah, they can. It's a total
cool.
different design. So when they design the blades on those really loud fans are just a really cheap
it's
design.
Comforting,
it's
though.
Easy to make. Right. But the nicer fans that are made with the little squirrel cage blowers are much quieter, and they remove a lot more air. So it can definitely be fixed with fans that could do a lot better job if that's an issue. If it's just not removing enough moisture.
Okay, that's something you just cut a bigger hole in the ceiling and mm-hmm. that kind of...
Sometimes it's bigger, sometimes it's not all that much bigger. The fans can actually be almost the same footprint and move a lot more air.
Oh, okay. And that's something to think about, too. Are y'all, like, working on any new builds right now or anything? Do you do installation for things mm-hmm. like that?
Sure do. Absolutely. We've got most of the people we work with have custom homes, so we get a little more liberty to actually look at that kind of stuff and do those little things that make a difference. And that's what I enjoy about homes, you know, being able to go in and actually start thinking about these processes before the home's built and do some things like that.
Now, when you install, and like you just said, like a custom home, so is it different if it's just like a, I don't even know what you call it, like just a cookie cutter home?
Like a track. Well, the only difference is a lot of times those are done by a process. I mean, it is, here's how you do it the same time 100 times over.
Mm-hmm.
And a big emphasis is put on cost, and
right.
nothing wrong with that. But sometimes that's when that really inexpensive fan becomes what gets put in there, because it is an exhaust fan and it does work, but it's not really what you want. If you know what I mean? You could put in just a little bit nicer fan and
right.
be a lot more happy with it, but you know, it depends on if the customer's buying the home or if a builder's building a home and they're paying for the fan. You know what I mean? It just,
that makes sense.
It depends on who's paying that bill and what they want to put in.
But if you are doing a new build, you probably, of all the things, I mean, other than having a really decent dishwasher, right? You really want well, you want a really decent AC
yeah,
unit when ACs, you live in Florida.
They take up a large part of your utility costs. They really are a big part of your power bill. And I've joked about it before, you won't pay off the power company. You'll pay off a lot of things in your life, but you won't pay that one off. So,
no.
You know, the
it just keeps showing up.
Yeah, it seems to be a pretty good idea to me to get a lower utility cost, because when you get that lower utility cost, you're also getting a lot more comfort. Like I said, those systems are way quieter. They remove more humidity. You're going to get a lot better feeling home, and you get the lower utility cost. So it's multiple things. It's not just a SEER rating to me. There's a lot of other things that they benefit from.
Right. That's something just to keep in mind, too. I know a lot of people are, the market is hot. Everybody's thinking about moving, doing
yeah.
all those things. Do you y'all partner with, like, any inspectors or inspection companies to, like, look at AC units? Is that something y'all
well,
do?
Well, no. The inspection, you know, the county comes out and does their inspection mm-hmm. on it. And then we have a blower door test now on the houses. So you actually, you know, pressurize the house, see where there's leaks, make sure you've got the right amount of leaks and not too many leaks. So that's the process when we build a new home.
Right. And we've talked about the right amount of leaks before.
Mm-hmm. Got to have a little air coming in. That's right. You can get it too tight.
Okay. Even like the little crack in the door in the back that bothers me when I look down and see
mm-hmm.
it.
Yep.
that's okay for now.
That's well, it's air coming in. But
I shouldn't let it bother me.
Yeah, you want to control it. If you can possibly control it, you would like to control it. And that's where we got into the bringing fresh air into the house through the air conditioning system, filtering that air, conditioning that air, then putting it into the house, as opposed to just letting it come in with dust and moisture and whatever else might be in it.
Right. Okay. And so, like, and we've talked about this before, too. And I mentioned this the other day. I got into an argument with a family member. We were talking about running your AC. So it must have been, okay, the kids were on spring break last week. So my house was pretty much like a revolving door of children just going in and out, upstairs to play, outside to play in the backyard. You know, it's, you know, you have kids.
Oh, yeah.
So they just come and go as they please, pretty much. I can't seem to get them on a schedule. But we had a really warm day. It must have been Tuesday, Thursday, something like that. And I finally like broke and was like, okay, I can't handle it anymore. So I flipped on the AC. And I told my family later, yep, yeah, it's cold up there. It was like snowing in Michigan. So
oh boy.
I was like, ha ha ha, we have the AC on, you know, but I felt like it took a lot longer to cool off.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, well, yeah, you're not supposed to like have the door open and close while you have the AC on that much, because it just lets all the cold air out.
Right.
And you're letting all of the other stuff in.
Well, two things there. One, that air is going to move around, and hot air is going to flow to cold air and vice versa. So anytime you open a door and the house is cooling off, the warmer air is going to try to come in. But the other thing is, and people sometimes don't understand, if their house is warm, meaning it hasn't ran at all, your furniture's warm, your slab is, all the wood structure, everything in that house that holds heat is warm. So that first kick on is going to take it a lot longer than, you know, your normal kick on and off process. Once the house has cooled off, it's not going to run near as long before it kicks off. So that's a thing to just keep in mind. When you've got that much thermal mass in there, you've got to cool everything down before it actually starts to feel good in there.
I think you're watching the light bulbs go off in my head over here. Because I didn't think about that part. I was more interested in having that instant relief and hoping that it would all of a sudden turn into a refrigerator.
No, they're not designed to do that at all. That, we get that quite a bit. If somebody, you know, like for instance, we put a brand new system in and it's off all day and you turn it on, sometimes they're like, well, it's not working yet. It's been 30 minutes. Just give, you know, it's not designed
okay.
to do that.
Now
just
I feel guilty. Time. Oops. Okay.
No,
I was definitely complaining like, okay, I texted my husband, hello, it's not working. You better call somebody because I need a fan on or something. And I mean, we kept the fans circulating mm-hmm. in the rooms, and we tried to keep those clean too, because the yeah. fans in Florida build up dust super fast okay. throughout the wintertime when, you know, you're not running the AC and everything's just starting to sit. Mm-hmm. But let's talk. Can I talk about ceiling fans for a second?
Sure.
The myth of ceiling fans. Now, people, I like to argue apparently with people. Let's just, I won't argue with you. You know what you're talking about.
No, you're good. This can be an argument. I've had this conversation a bunch.
Okay. So the fan, the ceiling fan, I believe it does not cool a room. It only cools the person under it.
Right. Moving air helps to evaporate the moisture off your skin, which makes you feel cooler. So that's where the fans make things cooler. Moving air across your skin makes you feel cooler. So you're not cooling the air, but you're moving the air across your skin, which helps evaporate moisture. However, the motor that's turning those blades is creating heat. So it's a you can look at it a bunch of different ways. A lot of people just like to feel air on them, and that's another thing. Like, some people like a cold house, some people like it warm. Some people like the feel and the noise of a fan. Other people, I personally can't stand one. I just don't like a fan. I don't like blowing on me. I want to be cool and not feel the air. A lot of people
I'm already cool. Fine.
Everybody's different in that
regard.
Well,
you just killed my dreams when you said it creates heat.
Well, if it's an electric motor of any sort, it's putting off heat when it's running. That's
oh,
how they
goodness.
Work. So. It's not that it's the end of the world. I'm not telling you you can't run your fans, but it is a little bit of a heat. And when you start looking at homes with thermal cameras and things like that, it's amazing at some of these things that jump out to you that you just don't think about. You know, even lights. Now, lights have come a long way, but if you've got the old-style can lights with screw-in bulbs, you would be floored at how much heat, you know, 10 or 12 light fixtures
can put off. I don't ever want to turn them on. Is that like the incandescent?
Yeah, just your older style light bulbs. And for a long time, and there's still a lot of them around here, you had a recessed can light in a ceiling
yes.
with a screw-in bulb. If that bulb's not an LED, that light puts off a lot of heat. And you'd be amazed at how much. You know, we've gone into churches before that had, you know, say 60 of them in the ceiling to
yes.
light up a big area.
Right.
Well, when you do the math on those 60 bulbs, it was almost 5 tons of air conditioning to cool down the light bulbs before you ever started cooling the space. So it can really add up. And that's another
Whoa.
Thing that, you know, you can just think about LEDs. I know they're a little more expensive, but and most people have gone to them. They've actually come down and cost quite a bit. But they help quite a bit in that they don't produce heat. I know they're more energy efficient for lighting.
Right.
But on the AC side, you're not running your air conditioner as much to cool off all those lights. So something to think about.
I feel like we learned a lot today. My mind is blown. All right, Travis, thank you so much. Go ahead online, climatechproair.com.